So if you have 90 seconds, our default is usually pick up the phone, scroll it, answer an email, but it's usually not closing any loops, right? When we focus on what is undone, we need to do, we keep ourselves in that hypervigilant state. It might be like thinking to yourself, this isn't my problem to solve right now. How we choose to spend our time is how we choose to spend our lives.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micro moments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micro moment count. This is a two-part episode. If you want to check out the first part, listen to the previous episode of Time Billionaires.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're hitting on a couple of things from beginning to and now of one of the misconceptions that people have when I tell them the concept behind Time Billionaires is that it's more hustle culture, constant productivity, fit more into these small gaps of time between your obligations. But it's actually the absolute opposite. It's don't feel this pressure to be constantly on and responsive to other people's priorities. So the filling these 4-minute gaps with scrolling emails you don't have time to respond to is a lot more cognitive load and context shifting that doesn't help you at all, but sort of fills this anxiety loop of feeling like we need to be responsive. Because what if in the last 30 minutes an email came through that I absolutely have to prove I was responsive for? And all of this is just performative. It's actually not more productive, more effective to think about the same email 3 times as you context shift from 1 meeting to 9 email topics back to another meeting. All of these meetings are less effective. All of your replies are less effective. There's a lot more cognitive load from every single task versus just batching it. And that's also why I found when I tried to do the traditional time calendar blocking of track what you do in 30-minute increments. If I am in a meeting for 22 minutes and then I check my emails for a few, I go to the bathroom, get coffee, step outside, how do I actually code that 30 minutes? And all of that is, I think, beside the point, which is just when we feel like our time is our own, if we've decided that 60 seconds of breathing deeply outside is the right thing to do between meetings, and it's our time, and we can be intentional about it. It's not more hustle, productivity, other people's priorities, pseudo-responsiveness for the sake of looking reliable.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like one of the things we know helps with chronic stress, which a lot of us are under at work, is choice, right? And now, granted, it might not be the choice between the things that we want choices, but anywhere that we have choice or autonomy is a stress reliever. And so, right, what you're saying is, let me make my choices about my time, not let me just become a slave to a calendar tracker that actually maybe even adds stress to me because I can't figure out exactly how to code it or how many minutes this takes or am I allowed to go to the bathroom here?
Totally. We all want agency over how we spend our time and to how time feels, just feeling like we can control how we spend it. Even kids, right? A lot of these meltdowns. You and I would have meltdowns too if all of our autonomy was stripped out of everything from what we ate to what we wear to when we were allowed to go to the bathroom.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. So if somebody only has a few minutes, let's say between meetings today, in school pickup line, waiting for a doctor's appointment, is there something that you think that they can do with those few minutes that would help improve their sense of focus and reduce this feeling of constant pressure?
Yeah. So kind of two ideas or two different approaches to get at something fairly similar. And one is the idea of a completion pause. So if you have 90 seconds, our default is usually pick up the phone, scroll it, answer an email, but it's usually not closing any loops, right? With 90 seconds, mm-hmm. It's hard to get something done. When we focus on what is undone only, on the things we need to do, we keep ourselves in that hypervigilant state. So with the idea behind the 90-second completion pause is to just close a loop. not literally, but to recognize where you have done that. So name something today that you have finished. Acknowledge any, some sort of effort that you have put into something, and that that is a win, having put the effort into it. And like, take those 90 seconds to feel it in your body. So often we stop before we celebrate the wins, right? We get something done, and before we even celebrate that we did it, we're on to the next task. And what happens is that's, again, that keeps that hypervigilant loop going, right? Because we're never safe. We're just moving on to the next threat of the next thing that needs to be done. And it actually starts to erode our confidence over time. And so these little check-ins of I've done something, you know, if you are feeling up for it, maybe even put a hand on your heart and take a breath or two along with it. But to acknowledge I have done something, something is off my plate, that can start to help you feel that sense of safety, which helps you access more cognitive bandwidth. The other kind of approach to that is to think about something you're dropping. So set down one responsibility that isn't yours. It might be someone else's emotional reaction, right? Like someone else's boundary reaction. It might be a problem that someone asked you about. It might be someone's urgency that isn't your urgency, but it might be like thinking to yourself, this isn't my problem to solve right now, or this can wait, or on Friday afternoon, maybe it's this is a Monday problem, right? But to take those 90 seconds to almost visually remove something off your to-do list as well. They both are kind of getting at the same idea of like closing up loops and not having more things to do on your plate.
Yeah, they really are. And they can be simple. That ritual is quick and has surprising, I can imagine, benefits. I like this 90-second completion pause idea. I've talked about naming out loud things that are done, but yeah, calling it just really that, this completion pause is sort of this little reward reset that can come whenever we've maxed ourselves to achieve something.
Totally. And I think, again, if most of us that are like achievement-oriented, we tell ourselves we're going to rest when we're done, then we're never actually done, right? So we never give ourselves the permission to rest. We never have that kind of dopamine hit of good job, success. And no wonder we're all burning out. Like, it's actually really, really, really important to our bodies and to our brains to say, this is done, whether it is I picked up the phone and scheduled that doctor's appointment, and it took 5 minutes, but it was a big emotional weight to do. Or I fed myself lunch today. That was a win, right? Whatever the win is, it doesn't have to be, you know, I got a promotion. It's a little thing, but it's those little things that really accumulate over time.
Yeah, as proof to yourself that you're capable of tackling things that you may have avoided, or whatever emotion is surrounding the procrastination of concern about how you'll do it, or some overwhelm, whatever it is, just accumulating those wins of, yes, I'm capable of moving things off the list, as opposed to just this never-ending overwhelm of adding them.
Yes, yeah. Totally. It builds that self-trust.
Yeah, that's great. Is there anything I didn't ask that you wanted to share?
I think the big thing is to recognize that, you know, we talk about time management like it's this productivity tool, but really it's actually deeply meaningful and psychological, right? Because how we choose to spend our time is how we choose to spend our lives, right? It reflects our values and our socialization around what we're allowed or not allowed to do. And so when people struggle with it, I just like to normalize that, of course you do, right? This is not easy stuff. If it were, we wouldn't have 500 books attempting to teach us how to manage our time better. We're really questions of time or questions of mortality and finiteness. And when we at least acknowledge, okay, that's what we're dealing with on some level, we can have a little more self-compassion as to why we're all struggling with it.
Yeah, we really can. And naming it intentionally, to your earlier point, I think is really key. I love that quote too. But right, if you spend time on something, you're spending part of your life on it.
Right.
And you've decided that you would rather do that than exercise, read a book, spend time with your family. But we don't always name that choice. I think it's easy to feel like rest and anything personal that isn't immediately productive has to be earned. And until we've earned it, we sort of owe this other our time and our presence, because that's our job, that's what we're getting paid for, et cetera. But when I really started saying, would I rather do this than spend an hour with my daughter, that made it a lot easier. because that is exactly what I was deciding before I labeled it. But until I labeled it, I would rather spend an hour doing this than an hour with my daughter. I couldn't really actually make the decision quite as intentionally. And that did become this recipe for resentment, a feeling like I could never do enough or be enough or be enough places.
Yeah. And that, like, a lot of values go into that, right? In that choice, right? Maybe it's not even, I'd rather spend the time on work with my daughter, but I value the paycheck that keeps the roof over our heads and the food on our plates. And so I am choosing to put my time in here in order to provide for my family in this way, right? So connecting it to a broader value,
choice.
Not just of like how I'm spending, how, you know, what I'm doing with it and the enjoyableness of the task, but of the why.
I've loved this conversation. We'll link to your LinkedIn and website in our show notes. Is there anywhere else you want people to come find you?
Yeah, they can also just find me in addition to LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, and you can also find me on my actual website, which is drannwelsch.com.
Great. We'll link to that in the show notes. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.